On this week's episode of Checkers or Wreckers with Dega Davey and the Nose. First, we gotta talk about the biggest news of this week, almost a century. California reconfiguration. Then we go into Darlington. Big race weekend, all three series, Southern 500, Crown Jewel. Gotta break that down, review our picks. It was okay for me. Dega Davey, a little bit better. Driving topics, talking about the smooth brain strategy, pulling an Alan Gustafson crew chief box for the truck series. Denny Hamlin, should he even be in the Xfinity series last weekend at Darlington? We're adding another guy to the cuck list. Crew chief suspensions for the next race, will they matter? Who is the current face of the NASCAR Cup Series? Should we apologize to Austin Dillon for excluding him from all of our playoff picks? Silly season updates, what to watch for Richmond, and then, as always, Richmond picks. Also, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Chase Elliott. I got to hop on to a Zoom call this week. He surprised me. You can go check that out on YouTube. And also, some big news after the fact that we recorded. Jimmy Johnson has signed a two-year deal with Chip Ganassi Racing to do the street and road courses in IndyCar for the next 2 years. Still waiting on sponsorship. Other than that, hammer down. Dale Jr., send us off.
You put it all on the line. It's Checkers or Wreckers.
Holy shit. I love that fucking song. But it relates to the first topic. I know Darlington just happened. I know a whole bunch of shit that impacts me as a Chase Elliott fan just happened. But we record on Tuesdays. It is Tuesday. The biggest news of the century, it feels like, popped on NASCAR Twitter this morning when The Athletic reported that they're going to be turning Auto Club Speedway out there in Fontana, out east of L.A., into a 1.5 mile short track that has Martinsville-like straightaways and almost higher than Bristol corners. So, JP, I got to ask you, how do you feel about this? I mean, I'll get my comments in a second, but how do you feel about it?
I like the mindset. I think it's a good mindset. Take a track that sucks and make a change to it. However, and Noah, you know where I stand on this. I think making it into a short track is the dumbest thing they could have done. Of all the options they had, dumb. Auto Club is a 2 mile track that all they got to do is adjust the banking a little bit. And we have a West Coast Super Speedway. We have a West Coast Talladega or Daytona. That's what they should have done. Now, look, do I hate short tracks? No, of course not. I'm not an asshole. Of course not. But look at the track they had. It's such a fast track, and it's such a big track and a big venue. Why not make it a really fast super speedway and add another big pack racing track to the circuit? That's my take on it. Overall, am I happy that is it better than the regular Auto Club? Yes. Anyone can say that. That's easy to agree with. But maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one. What's your take on it?
So I am not alone in my thought process here. I've been listening to SiriusXM all day. They did not get to talk about anything else today other than, do you like the move? I, frankly, love the move. I do not like Auto Club Speedway. I don't like racing on there. I really don't like watching it. Now, when they repave it, every time it's just a one-lane track. It's an intermediate. It was a part of the boom with Texas and Vegas back in 1997 when they opened it up. Roger Penske opened it up back in the day. Then a whole bunch of tumultuous people just, whatever reason, don't like it when they go there. And it's just like a freight train going around and like little to no passing. But now it's really starting to come into their own. So I am a short track enthusiast. I wish, yes, I'm like you kind of. I wish a part of me that they would make it a super speedway, but I'm glad that they're going to be making it a short track. And I've always wondered what it would be like if Martinsville had high-ass banks. I literally have been wondering that for most of my life. And now the dream is coming true. Now, if you're not seeing the renderings, everybody, basically, they are taking the, like, the little patch of grass in the middle in between the front stretch and the pit road, and that's going to be the infield. And then they're just going to make it the pit road, the back stretch, and the front stretch is going to be like the regular. And it's just going to be a little bit of a curve to it. So you got kind of a Captain Hook on there in terms of how it's going to be looking. So it's not going to be a copy, a carbon copy of Martinsville, but it's still going to look kind of like Martinsville with a curve to it. So I'm a big fan. Most people that don't like it are just assholes to me, because the West Coast really doesn't have any short tracks. I would not consider Phoenix a short track. It's a mile. I'm talking, I wish they would go even smaller, like a 3/8, like just super boring, but they didn't. But moving on to Darlington, I am devastated by what happened at Darlington. I thought the racing all across the board was pretty fun. Now everybody's going to be saying it's a snooze fest. I fell asleep, whatever. Fuck you. It's fucking Darlington. What do you expect? It's an older track. It's going to be wearing out the tires. It's all about strategy and who can wheel the fuck out of the car. I was devastated because, as many of you know, I'm a huge Chase Elliott fan. And we have just another time where JGR is just dicking everybody. Initial thoughts for you on Darlington, JP?
I thought the JGR tactics came to an end after we saw Kyle Busch spin Chase Elliott. I was wrong. Just like my picks this week, I was wrong. We'll get into that. But overall, across all the series, it was some pretty good racing. And like you mentioned, Darlington's the crown jewel. All right, it's not going to be over in 2.5 hours. All right, it's not going to work like that. It's a long race. And like you mentioned, it's got to be strategy. Who can keep the car out of the wall and not make smooth brain decisions on pit road? That's what we're looking for. And we did see some really good racing. You know, we didn't get to sit there and watch a 4-hour race just to see, you know, the one guy lead all the entire race and finish that way. No, we got to see some racing across all series. So you really couldn't tell who was going to be the winner until about 7 laps or less across all the series. So again, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we have to go into the race breakdown. So in terms of Xfinity, all right, look, we're going to go top to bottom in the order that they ran. So Xfinity, obviously, what a fucking finish. Denny Hamlin does some cucking to Ross Chastain. That's what we all remember. And then Daddy's Money lucked out. And then also, something big, other than the oil spill with Briscoe spinning out, we also had NBC Sports deciding to switch mid-restart, in the middle of restart, from they're going to switch from the race to pre-race coverage for 5 hours straight of Kentucky Derby for a race that lasts like 2 minutes and is one lap. That's 5 hours of pre-race, but they switched in the middle of the NASCAR race. But Daddy's Money did luck out. Brandon Jones and all that. And any notable finishes, JP?
So, Brandon Jones took home the win. Let's not forget Chastain. You know, we'll talk about that in a minute here. You know, whether it's Denny, his fault, both, who gives a shit. Chastain still got second. Big day for him. Ryan Sieg third. Riley Herbst fourth. And Dickie Handlin got fifth on the day. So, again, those two guys collided, still had good finishes. Your pick, Noah Gragson, got 7th. Briscoe, you've already mentioned it, the oil spill. 11th, Cindric. This is Big Dick Cindric, maybe? Only had 12th place on the day. Brandon Brown, another one of your picks, 17th. And then little man Allgaier, who I had 31st.
And then going on to the Truck Series race, it's pretty obvious that Alan Gustafson was a crew chief for all the people that pitted at the very end of that race. The only person that I saw actually come back and do well in the tires they got was Austin Hill, and he rallied back from 17th and restart to 3rd. And then also we found out that Derek Kraus, as good as a racer he's been at Darlington that race, he sucks at restarts. JP, notable finishes.
Ben Rhodes, it's been over 2 years, brought home the win there. Big day for him. You mentioned it, Derek Kraus ran 100-some-odd laps, didn't know how to run the last one. Shame. Took home second. Austin Hill, you just talked about it, brought home third, got the fresh tires, brought her on in. Enfinger, we have not heard a damn thing about him in the past several races, brings home fourth. Christian Eckes, the KBM winless streak continues. He only got fifth. And then your boy Moffitt, 10th, Kraft in 14th, Zane Smith, the handsome Zane Smith, got in the wall a lot of contact for him. Other drivers out there only brought home 16th. And Sheldon Creed, who was obviously winning the race and would be fighting for the lead until, like you mentioned, Alan Gustafson swung out his dick, made a call, probably from the command center is my guess, brought Sheldon on pit road. He only got 18th on the day, and he was in the lead.
So I got to ask you, got a couple minutes here. Do you know who Sheldon Creed was throwing back to, by the way?
I do not.
It was supposed to be Jimmy Johnson's stadium rally truck that Jimmy Johnson threw back to last year. But for whatever fucking reason, they threw back and they didn't use the same colors and it didn't look anything like it. But in terms of throwbacks for the trucks, Zane Smith had the best one of me. I know you like that one as well, the Wood Brothers. So going on to the Cup Series, big boys. Loved all the schemes. It was a lot of fun. Truex decided to clear himself. Off Chase, whatever. There was penalties to Ryan Blaney pre-race for improperly placed ballast. It was Todd Gordon said that they put a lead shot, like a 5-pound bag of lead shot on the radiator to simulate all that kind of stuff for pre-race inspections back at the race shop. Someone must have knocked it off. It fell into the car, the inner workings, and NASCAR was like, yo, what's this? And they're like, oh, I swear. And they go, nah. Suspended one race, docked 10 points before the race even started. Post-race, we had some penalties as well. Clint Bowyer's crew chief and Kyle Busch crew chief both suspended for two missing lug nuts or loose lug nuts. And then obviously, we all know Kevin Harvick won. Austin Dillon almost came back and won. But notable finishes, JP.
For the Cup Series, you just mentioned it. Big Dick Harvick taking home the win. As I predicted, I'm going to enjoy that while I can because I didn't do very good elsewhere. Austin Dillon got second. I don't think anyone would have predicted that. Joey Logano had a fucked up rear bumper, but worked out to his advantage, got third. Eric Jones, contractless Eric Jones, bringing home fourth place. And then Billy Byron had a first win this season, bringing home fifth. Beyond that, Denny Hamlin, this is a guy who is going to be certainly in the final four, you know, fighting with Harvick for the championship, most likely, only got 13th. Jimmy, first race post-playoff cutoff, only got 18th. Your boy Chase Elliott, we talked about the Truex Dickin, the JGR Dickin for that matter, only got 20th. Matt Benedetto, this guy squeezed his way into the playoffs after Daytona, first race into it, gets 21st. Brutal. And then Truex, he dicked himself more than Elliott, thank God, got 22nd.
Can we talk about for a second the fact that Denny, everybody was talking about Quinn Houff should be suspended from this fucking sport. We need better qualification for the Cup Series. Pull Quinn out of that fucking seat, bitch boy. And then Denny pulls the same shit. He pits from the middle lane and there's everybody around him. And I love the fact that Jimmy just took the bumper to him and said, yo, fuck you, bitch boy, and sent him off into the corner, and he had to go do another lap. He almost stopped and did like a penalty stop for himself before he decided to rev it up and go again. Did you find that as amusing as I did?
I did. I was watching the replay, and I'm sitting there going, what the fuck happened? This guy pissed away his lead, and again, we just talked about how much it cost his day. The dude finished 13th. He was like running the top three. Dumb. But I love what Jimmy did. He didn't really have anything to back it up because, you know, he still finished behind Denny Hamlin, which is kind of funny. But I liked it. I like what Jimmy did. Like, dude, get the fuck out of the way. Now, in fairness, Quinn Houff wrecked out people that mattered. Denny didn't dick anybody but himself at the end of the day. He really didn't slow down Jimmy that much. Maybe a tad bit, but I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's a fair argument. I think you're being a little melodramatic. I think you need to tone yourself down. You calm the fuck down. but hey, that's just me.
All right, so let's get into the picks for this week. JP, go ahead and break down your picks for yourself.
The picks that I had, I'll start with the Xfinity series in the order that we saw the race in.
Yeah, go ahead and defend yourself.
Look. Had there not been oil on the track, I think Chase Briscoe would have had a very solid day, but oil found its way on the track. So I guess BP, you know, continued their work at Darlington. The Gulf of Mexico wasn't enough, so BP said, "Nah, let's go ahead and get out there. Let's fuck up Darlington. Ruin Briscoe's day, bastards." And then, again, this is tough, man. Freaking Justin Allgaier. He had a good race last year. Didn't mean a damn thing this year. Dude got 31st. Come on, Allgaier. You just won a race a few races ago, and you go out there at a track that you've raced before, and you get fucking 31st? God damn it. Ow.
He did good. He tried his best.
God.
What about trucks?
Doesn't get much better. The handsome Zane Smith. I felt real good getting that pick. He was fighting up there for most of the day. I think it's a pit strategy put him towards the back of the field. He got tangled up some cars. His race was pretty much ruined. Zane Smith, not a great day. Finished 16th. Not that great. And then Trevor Bayne. Look, I'm sitting here thinking, I went with the Greg Biffle strategy when he came back for one race. Won the damn thing. I'm like, Trevor Bayne's first race back, cup guy back, and then the trucks for one race at a track that these guys, most of the guys haven't experienced. Give me Trevor Bayne. No, I'm a cuck. Didn't work out that great. Dude got fucking 27th. Damn it.
And Cup, any better?
Yes, Cup is where the hemorrhaging stops. This is where the tourniquet got applied. The bleeding stopped. I picked Big Dick Harvick. He pulled through. Fortunately, for my case, Truex ran out of talent, as Ryan Newman would say, and was not clear. And then Clint Bowyer. He's dry. He's finally driving like he has a contract on the line. Got a top 10, baby. Noah, what'd you have?
Okay, so for the Xfinity Series, I had Noah Gragson and Brandon Brown. Gragson decided to, spin himself off of Chastain at one point. I don't know what the fuck he was doing, but I went ahead and pre-ordered the car. It looks pretty cool.
And then with Brendan Brown, he got tangled up pretty early, but I really liked his paint scheme. Throwing back to Janet Guthrie. Loved me some Janet Guthrie. 7th and 17th, that beats out your Briscoe and Allgaier. I got the win on that one. Truck series, I picked Brett Moffitt and for some reason Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin was not entered into the truck series, contrary to popular belief or in my fucking smooth brain mind. I went ahead and put on my Alan Gustafson shirt and just called Hamlin to the victory circle for the truck series. But Moffitt finished 10th. Your best boy, Zane, the handsome Zane Smith, 16th. I get the win on that one. Automatically win now. Now, this is where it gets kind of tricky. I picked Chase Elliott to win because I thought JGR Dickin was done. I thought we were done cuckolding Chase Elliott to the fucking victory lane at Darlington. But, of course not. Finished 20th. And for whatever fucking reason, I decided to pick my least favorite owner, Bob Levine, in the 95. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. He finished 34th. That is the worst out of all of our picks, other than Hamlin, who didn't even fucking run the race. Hamlin in the trucks probably would have finished better than the fucking 34th. There was only 37 trucks out there. So I got the L on that one. So to break it down, 2-1, I win. So this week I get to pick the picks first for the first time in, I think, 3 weeks. So good rebound for me, and JP can go ahead and suck it. Now, for the moment we've all been waiting for, some driving topics, baby. What do you got first on? What do you got on the poll for me?
On the poll, whip out the chisel, open up the skull, and let's start smoothing down that brain. We have some really dumb pit strategy out of the truck series. And my big question was, what the fuck was the thought process? The guys had good tires. They had enough fuel, most of them, but yet they all came down pit road. This is Moffitt and Sheldon Creed are the two big ones. I think Crafton was also part of that. And they completely ruined their day. And Austin Hill as well. So I a part of me is thinking, okay, if they all come, then it'll be a fight from, you know, 10th to 15th place on back. If there's another overtime, you know, finish, if there's overtime number two or three, then they'll have a chance. But these guys didn't have bad trucks to begin with. They were fresh-ish. They were good. They had the track position. Dumb, dumb call. Go ahead.
So for me, it's kind of like that freecreditreport.com thing. It was F-R-E-E. That spells freecreditreport.com, baby. Now, what I'm going to say is G-R-E-E-D. That spells greed. That's what I thought. That was a fucking walk to that, by the way. I've been thinking about that for like 20 minutes. Greed. That's why they fucking pitted. They thought, for whatever reason, those were magic tires out there and that those tires were going to make them 15 seconds faster than everybody, when in reality, it only makes you about 2.5 if you have a good truck. Now, those guys did have good trucks, but track position is everything in the truck series. And I remember hearing that on the radio. I think Brett Moffitt was the one saying that before they even started. Like, track position is everything in NASCAR, especially at Darlington. It's so hard to pass, and you're going to go out there and you're going to go down pit road and say, oh, these tires will help me a lot. Yeah, they might, but not if everybody else doesn't fucking pit with you. You're like the only guys fucking pitting. You're the one, if it's, for example, tacky day, and then you're the only guy that shows up tacky, who's the fucking one that looks like a clown? Your fucking ass. So I just could not fathom why they decided to come down pit. I was like, what are you doing? Like, I couldn't believe it. It was almost like whenever, it was literally just like whenever Alan Gustafson decided he was going to pit from the lead in the Coke Zero. And I knew right from there, I was like, what are we doing here? What are we, does he have a contract with Penske or something next year? Is he part of the fucking crew chief switch? But I just don't understand it. Like, we literally saw the Xfinity series. You saw the tire wear off. They're using the same tires. So you know. So like what? I can't explain it because I'm not fucking stupid. It's like when a crazy person goes and does stuff, my mom says, Noah, the reason you don't understand it is because you're not fucking crazy. And it's the same thing here. I'm not fucking stupid. So I don't even understand why they did it. But
the only way I can fathom it is if it was like 10 laps to go, I get it. Good call. This, they knew they were going into overtime and would only have two laps with three quarters of a lap. So for two total laps in overtime, three quarters of one of those laps, the first one, is getting up to speed where tires don't fucking matter. I'm dumbfounded. Absolutely dumbfounded.
So for the next big topic, before I ask that question, I gotta ask you the quick fire question. Who's at fault with Denny versus Chastain?
Both.
No, dude. That was totally Denny. Denny slid up there. I don't mind slide jobs when you don't fucking pull a Tyler Reddick at Daytona and hit the wall when you do it. Like, slide job, but don't fucking start wrecking everybody in front of you.
I think if you look at the last seven laps of that race, the last, hell, even 8, 9, 10, these guys are beating and banging nonstop. They're both clipping the wall. They're both driving out of their realm at Darlington. It's like every single expert, broadcaster, analyst had been saying the entire race. Once you start racing other cars and you stop racing the track, this shit's going to happen. Now, you know, we can talk, you know, the semantics here of should Denny had been in that race in the first place. That's a different story. But as far as what we actually saw there, I think it's 50-50. I didn't see Ross Chastain let up when he knew exactly what Denny was going to do. I'm not saying it's his fault. I think it's both their faults. Denny overdrove the car, put it in the wall, gave nowhere for Ross Chastain to go. But at the same time, you're telling me Ross Chastain didn't see what Denny was doing at any point in time? It goes, oh, I got nowhere else to go. No, dude, use your fucking brake pedal and understand what's about to happen. That's a part of racing.
All right, you just set me off a little bit. We got to ask, should, all right, it's like the question about Denny. Speaking of him, Should Cup playoff drivers be allowed to race at these lower levels if it is at the same track as Cup, even though that the lower series are not in the playoffs? Because right now, the rule states you can drive in a certain amount of races up to, like, I think five or seven. I can't remember, depending on the series. And then, but you cannot race in their playoffs. But I thought it gave an unfair advantage to Denny. And if Denny didn't get dicked by his own Quinn Houff situation, he would have probably fucking won that race. Because Chase was kind of slow. He was slowing up. Truex was catching him, and so was Denny. So do you think that Denny should have been able to even allowed to run that race? Do you think that's fair?
Fuck no. I don't see how anyone, especially this season, it's a weaker argument when there's practice and qualifying. But right now, when there is no practice, there is no qualifying, Denny got a free 200-mile practice session in a little bit different car. I understand it's not the same car, so it's I can see someone out there saying, it's not a fair comparison. It kind of fucking is. Because he's on that track with the similar tires in a Toyota Xfinity car versus a Toyota Cup car, and he's getting 200 miles out there. I think it's dumb. Like we just talked about, man, these guys, it's a one and done. You show up, you race, you go. We talked about Alex LeBay at Daytona when he was running practice laps, and a man alleged to be Alex LeBay at the Daytona road course, because it wasn't Alex LeBay. It was, you know, wasn't me. It wasn't him. So, and he got fined up the ass for doing seven laps there. Denny did 200 fucking miles. And no one says a damn word. NASCAR is like, says, hey, man, you're totally allowed to do it. So I think it's bullshit.
Hey, Alex LeBay, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. He got acquitted on all charges on that thing. So obviously, even though we saw what it looked like, and we know he was down there, that wasn't him in the car, obviously, and that wasn't his car on the track. We just saw a fucking ghost out there. Mm-hmm. So ectoplasm. So yeah. My opinion on this is the same as yours. I don't think it's fucking fair. Like, if you're going to set a precedent with Alex LeBay doing that kind of shit and then coming down on him, then even though that they said that the rule book was not clear enough, that's why they cleared him. I don't think you should be getting practice like that, because in a normal season, this season wouldn't be like this. Like, there wouldn't be extra Xfinity doubleheader at Richmond next week. So I just don't get it. I just don't understand why they wouldn't even let that happen. And, you know, Dave Moody makes the argument on the radio saying, no, these drivers were very excited to be able to race against greatness like Denny Hamlin. I don't give a fuck, because if Denny wasn't out there, Ross would have won. So as much as Ross loves beating Denny Hamlin, like, what the fuck? Why are we so excited for the guys to come down from the top to whip up on some ass, and then sometimes they get beat by unfortunate circumstances? That's like the New York Yankees coming down to double-A ball, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos coming down there and playing, and then the Yankees win every time except for one time, and then they go, I'm so grateful I got to play against these guys. I learned so much by them whipping my ass. Like, no, it's not Big Brother in the backyard playing basketball. This is real money being lost because a Cup driver decides he's going to come down here and do some fucking practice set. But whatever. Fuck it.
Well, on that note, we need to add another driver to the Cuck list. We're going to introduce the Cuck list. And there's already quite a number of drivers on there. Kyle Busch, he's going to lead that board all day, every day.
Denny.
Dickie Hamlin.
Dickie Hamlin's on there.
That rat fuck Joey Logano. Put him on there. And out of the stall, take the reins out of his mouth, give him an apple, Brad Keselowski. We have another one, though. And from the Cup Series, and I think you know where I'm going with this, does Truex need to be added to that Cuck list?
Is he even a real question? Like,
no, of course it's not. Of course, like, no, fuck yeah, he should be added. No, that was
this. That, all right, man. Are you gonna? You really gonna piss, dude? You gonna piss me off? It's Tuesday. I'm still pissed off. When Truex was going to pass Chase, I knew Truex was going to pass Chase. I knew Chase was going to finish second unless a caution came out and then late restart. Chase needed a lot of help. His speed was really declining because Chase was deciding to run all over the track, giving Truex all these kind of lines, especially on the lap that he crashed. Chase went real low into 3 and 4. Truex went up high. Huge run again. And Chase said, oh, I was just trying to get everything out of it. But I knew that when he dove in there, he was not going to be clear. But I had faith that Truex not be a dick. I have a little Truex pop figure. Cecilia bought it. She likes Truex because her dog likes Truex, she says. And we have like 3 or 4 Truex cars. Those were in the fucking like hidden away until end of playoffs.
Better yet, instead of hearing your little whiny fucking opinion, what does Martin Truex have to say?
Okay. Actual audio. Let's hear it.
Just not enough room there for both of us, you know. And thought I had enough of a run to clear him. I think it was close, obviously, and I didn't. I thought I had enough of a momentum and distance on him that he was going to let me in there, you know. And I didn't expect him to be on my right rear, and I was committed. And once I figured he was still there, nothing I could do. So really unfortunate for our Bass Pro Toyota, and unbelievable job by the guys, and smoking fast race car, obviously. So a lot to be proud of. I hate it for the 9 team, obviously. I mean, it was nothing intentional. Just two guys going for the win, and not enough room for both of us there. So, if it was my fault, I apologize. I really felt like it was, I really felt like I had the position to get in there to one. So, yeah, that's how it goes. And, we'll see what goes on from here.
That late in the race, are you still expecting a little give there at this track?
Well, I mean, no, but, at the same time, I felt like I had enough there. It was only a few inches. And, a few inches, either you wreck or you give it to the guy. So, I mean, I felt like I was on the right side of things, but, again, I'll have to go back and look at it and, see if there was something I could have done different. But
so two things from that were, first, Truex said, I thought he was going to let me in. Second, he said, I should not apologize because I thought I had that spot. He said, yeah, he got him by, he was going to clear him by inches. But he literally stuck his back right wheel onto Chase's front left. It was literally not even close to being fucking clear. And he has the audacity to say, I thought he was going to let me in. This is the fucking playoffs. I'm so mad thinking about it. This is the fucking playoffs. Why in the fuck does Truex say, I thought he was going to let me in. I thought this is my position. The arrogance kills me. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? That is like the most Kyle Busch kind of shit ever. Not blaming himself. Doesn't take no blame. At least when Kyle wrecked out Chase, he said, I feel bad for the 9 team. I feel bad for everybody involved over there. And I feel bad for Chase because I did not mean to wreck him. I take full responsibility. Truex didn't have the fucking balls to go out there and say, that was my fault. He just made an excuse saying, Oh, no, that's not my fault. If it was my fault, I'd apologize, but it's not. That's basically saying, fuck you. What did you think about his comments?
Quote, if it was my fault, I apologize.
Just get the fuck out.
If it was my fault, and you just nailed it on the head. We are in the playoffs. There is no give. This is the first race in the closing laps. We have, I think, 7 or 8 laps to go when this bullshit happened. You have two guys, Denny Hamlin at this point had already ruined his race, and you have Harvick in third. This would have been an ideal opportunity for either one of these guys to lock themselves into the round of 12 and make Harvick earn his way in through Richmond and Bristol. Yet, like you just mentioned, Truex saying, quote, I thought he was going to let me in there. Dude, what the fuck are you thinking? The first words out of his mouth should have been, I messed up. I thought I was clear. I wasn't. I ruined his day. I ruined my day. We were racing hard, and I made a mistake. I wasn't clear when I thought I was. It's on me. Hate it for the team. That was like when someone's mom is like, hey, man, you need to go over there and you need to apologize because you fucked up. And that's like the kid going over to whoever the kid he pissed off and him saying, like, I guess I'm sorry. If I did hit you, I guess I'm sorry. Fuck you, Martin Truex. Fuck you.
It's just we all know, we could all see it, the run that Chase had coming back. If he would have just stuck there instead of moving up and clearing himself, Chase would have had the position going back into 3 and 4. It was 14 laps to fucking go. Why did he make the move right there? And everybody's like, oh, he had, that was the one chance to win the race. He had 13 other chances to win that race in that same corner, and he chose that one to just fuck it all up. I just don't.
Goddamn, we could spend all day talking on this.
Look, all right. To kind of move on a little bit, we have suspensions coming for Richmond. We have John and Klausmeier and Adam Stevens, Clint Boyer's crew chief and Kyle Busch's crew chief. Two loose slug nuts, whatever. Fuck it. With the knowledge that we know of, like, these control centers, like these central centers that all these teams have, do you think these suspensions mean anything for Richmond? Because even though these guys have all these equipment, all technology to talk, we saw what a missing crew chief can be like, especially for Blaney's team when he went for a pit and they didn't even know what they were fucking doing. They were like throwing tires over the wall, back over forth, had it up on the jack for like 20 seconds. They looked like they were just like, the Keystone Cops out there. They were so discombobulated. But do you think these suspensions would affect Richmond for them?
Yes, Major League. We are in a time of no qualifying, no practice. And think about Kyle Busch's season right now, since we started racing again after the pandemic, or since the pandemic. He has had a terrible, terrible running. And that's with his crew chief, who knows on the spot, he can tell the crew guys what adjustments need to be made, what needs to be done to have a good running. Now, I'm going to be a little hypocritical here when we get to our picks later on, but I think for both Kyle Busch and Clint Boyer, everything matters. If it's a track bar adjustment, if it's a pressure adjustment, if it's a wedge, tape, whatever it may be, a pit strategy, a lot goes into it. And these guys, everything on pit road is so crucial. And you just alluded to it with Ryan Blaney having a horrible day. Those guys are standing around like a bunch of damn, that was some Bush League shit. And it's like, come on, boys, this is a multi-million dollar team. You guys are sitting there with fucking dicks in your hands. Go, what do we do? So, yes, it's going to make a huge difference. And I think it's going to hurt Kyle Busch more than anybody, because this guy has got to have his shit together, his team does, to dial in his car, because he ain't that good when in a one-day show. What do you think?
So the reason why I don't think it's going to mean anything for Richmond, because I don't expect anything out of these two anyways. Ever since, I don't think Kyle's going to be good at Richmond ever in his life, ever since he spun out Dale Jr. going into turn four, I think, just for no reason, just dumped him. And it's like the curse of Bambino for the Red Sox. It's like the curse of Dale Jr. Now, he may have had success after that, but I'm calling it right now. This is not Kyle Busch's year. I just don't think he's going to win again. And Clint,
we called that weeks ago. That's not
news. We're not talking about, that's why we called it old tier, bitch boy. All right, Clint, he ain't fucking winning this race. Get the fuck out. He doesn't even have a sponsor for this week. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, he had Haas. This week he has Ford. Like, I'd be shocked if he gets re-signed. We still haven't even heard it officially. He's not bringing any money in. Like, I love Clint, but like I said a couple weeks ago, if he's not bringing sponsors in, this is a sponsor-driven sport. And Chase Briscoe isn't really bringing anybody in either, but Austin Cindric is. Ford, keep an eye out for that. Now, I just don't think he's going to make that big of an... with the technology, they might have bad pit stops, but they're just not going to run good, especially because they don't have those guys out there.
All right. Who is the current face of NASCAR right now? We are one race into the playoffs. All right. We're in the mid 20s now, late 20s as far as races ran so far this season. When you think of 2020, this season, more specifically, racing in the pandemic, starting back in May, who comes to mind?
You are loading this question more than we did in the production meeting. I think, because you're just basically pointing, you're trying to make me see Harvick. I don't think it's fucking Harvick.
Oh, come on.
No, fuck you. You are leading me right down that road. I'm not drinking that fucking Kool-Aid, bitch boy. I think the current face of the Cup Series to me is Denny. As fucked up as much as he's on like cuck number one on our list, I think that Denny's like taking over NASCAR Cup Series right now.
I'm dying to hear why. Go ahead.
Okay. Denny is winning some fucking races. He's really come alive this year. I know everybody's going to say 2010. And I'm going to say, I know. And they're going to say 2019. And I'm going to say, I know. Those were his years as well. 2006, rookie year, dude. Two wins at fucking Pocono. Fuck off. I know. He chokes. I get it. Chokes hard. I get it. But he's like the fucking face. He's not really young, but he's Jordan Brand. He's got FedEx. He's winning some fucking races. He can win any race he's in. And I hate saying that because I fucking don't like Dickie Hamlin, but I think he's the fucking face more than Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick is like old news, old dog got taught new tricks. All right.
What?
He's like Fetcher's Rough Ruffman, whatever it is on PBS. He's fucking dog talking. All right. Marley me type shit. He's going to retire eventually coming up 2 years. I like his cars, not the face.
God. I don't. Okay, first off, I think it's obviously Kevin Harvick. He's winning all the fucking races. He has a good attitude. He's a nice guy. And not only that, as like a 1-2 punch here, look at his sponsor. I'm not getting FedEx shoved down my fucking throat when I look at the commercials and the ads. I'm not drinking FedEx Busch Light Apple. I'm drinking the Busch Beer Busch Light Apple. You think, come on, man. Are you kidding me?
Hold on. When you buy from NASCAR shop, who delivers it to you?
Post office.
No. When you buy straight from NASCARshop.com, FedEx sends it to you. Now, they may have help from USPS, but their partner is FedEx. So,
well,
boom.
Look,
You're getting shipped.
I work for a living, so I'm not home most of the time when it does get delivered. Irrelevant question.
No, but when
I'm not there, if I'm not there to see it, it didn't fucking happen.
No, it's
but
the
what
track
I am,
number.
What I am there to see is Kevin Harvick dominate this fucking season, take every race by the horns, and get his ass up there to the lead. Even on his bad days, his ass is in the top 10. He's making it work. And not only that, it's Harvick, it's his team, it's his sponsor. All three of those factors are hammering on all cylinders. Busch owns a huge chunk of the Cup Series. Every ad, all the track sponsors, Harvick himself leading at the front of the race, their social media, they're kicking ass. Harvick hasn't had any stupid mechanical errors on the track, no crazy flat tires here and there, and he's taking care of his car. And he doesn't make smooth brain decisions where he can't get the fuck out of the way when trying to come down pit road. So, and he's just dominated the race himself. He's dominated the race. He's done his job. So, all day, Kevin Harvick.
Now, Timmy Hill's facing NASCAR. So is Corey LaJoy. And anybody running for Rookie Wear Racing probably be running for championship next year. We don't know. He's making a lot of money running in the back. Quick fire question. Who's the biggest cuck in NASCAR Cup? I know. Who's the face of the NASCAR Cuck Series? How's that? I know we have a list, but who's number one on that list for you?
That's a tough question. I would have to say Joey Logano. And the only reason I'm saying him over Kyle Busch is that he's been more relevant this season than Kyle Busch has been. Now, aside from the fact that Kyle rucked out Chase Elliott, aside from that, he really hasn't done anything. Because he hasn't been at the front. We haven't seen him. So I think it has to be Logano because the stupid shit he's pulled off, whether it's a flat tire or the suspension breaking that we saw where he had to duck off the I forget what track it was, but he had to duck off to the right and caused a huge pileup. Whether it was last year at Talladega, he had a huge fucking run, and rather than going around Bowman, he fucking drills him and ruins a lot of guys' day, including Jimmy. I have forgotten about that. Or at Dover. fucking checks up and ruins Stenhouse's day and Kyle Busch's day and other guys. Yay. But also ruined Elliott's. Logano.
Can't forget the time that Joey Logano ran Carl Edwards down all the way into the apron, down into the paint at Homestead Miami in 2016 for the championship race and wrecked both of them out, causing Jimmy Johnson to win his seventh. Caused Carl Edwards into retirement. But aside from the NASCAR Cuck Series and all that other shit, this is the fucking playoffs, all right? Everybody's talking about playoffs suck, playoffs, all this kind of stuff, whatever. I love the playoffs. Fuck off. Playoffs are fun, all right? It provides a sense of finality rather than doing old school like Formula One where you're doing like, I don't know, you're winning the championship 20 races out from the finale. You're like, well, shit, why am I even watching the rest of the season? But can Blaney and DeBenedetto overcome the Darlington woes that has happened? They're tied at the back of the pack for playoff standings, minus 17 below the cut line. Do you think they can come back?
Absolutely. They're both going to tracks that they're very good at, Richmond and Bristol, and they have to rebound. You got to think, man, the ball's in your court. You're 17 points down. What are you going to do to fix your race, to fix your position? You gotta act now, because nobody wants to go to damn Bristol and put all their eggs in one basket and say, hey, man, we're in a must win. You want to do that? To hell with that. Fix it for Richmond. It's much, much more predictable than what Bristol's going to be. Not saying Bristol's like a wild card race like a Daytona or Talladega or the Daytona Road Course, but you don't want to ever be in that position. And look, if Austin Dillon can be this far into the playoffs after one race, he can equally be just far as out, which means those guys, they dick themselves the first one, they can rebound right back and be four or five spots in the playoffs. One race doesn't mean shit.
All right, so if you had to choose one of those drivers, Blaney or DeBenedetto, to get out of the hole, which one do you think is going to advance?
I think it's going to be Blaney. I just think that he's had – I think it's him. He performs well in the playoffs. He did really good at Bristol. DeBenedetto, not that he hasn't done well, he just hasn't had the luck that he needs. Blaney, for whatever reason, seems to show up at tracks. When he shows up, he shows up. When Dibby shows up, I see a third, fourth, fifth effort at best. You know, I'm not picking. I don't see Dibby fighting for the lead, unless it's some crazy pit strategy and he falls back. Blaney, I see though. Who you got?
It's kind of like seeing Bubba up to the lead. Now, I love Bubba, but like the speed in his cars are not immediate speed. So whenever you see him up front, you're like, all right, what happened to cause him up front? And that's no diss to Bubba. Love me some Bubba. But I think if one of them can get out of there, I think it's gonna be Dibby. And I'm not going just be contrarian. I just think that the mindset that Blaney has put himself in, now as bad as DeBenedetto also ran, he didn't have penalties set in him back there. He just ran bad. I think he can rebound at Richmond and possibly even win at Bristol. Blaney, I don't know. Blaney's had some bad luck at Bristol. Last time he ran into fucking Ty Dillon. So it just, eh. And I know that DeBenedetto hasn't had much luck either. He tore up the side of his car in the All-Star race. He blew out some shit, some shock absorbers in the first race at Bristol. But I think that one of them will be able to overcome. The other one's going to be left behind. There's not going to be four. I know that I call Wood Brothers Penske because we all know it's a four Penske car, but there's not going to be four Penske cars in the round of 12.
What we saw is they got themselves in a hole very quickly. But on the contrary to that, we also saw somebody get themselves very deep into the round of 12, and that's Austin Dillon. Now, we both had him still. I still have him out, at least as far as I'm concerned, out of the round of 16. I think he'll be one of the four guys to not transfer on. But should we apologize to Austin Dillon? Is one race good enough for you to say, you know, Austin Dillon, maybe not a championship threat, but is he going to be a round of 12, maybe round of 8 threat?
You cannot win the championship at Darlington. You cannot win the championship at Richmond. You cannot win the championship at Bristol. But you can definitely lose the championship at Richmond and Bristol. This has definitely given him this unnecessary boost of confidence, and he's going to get really cocky about it. He's going to take, you know, I got to give him kudos. Hell of a run at Bristol. But it's just a matter of, should we apologize? Hell no. Because you know what? Maybe my criticism is what fueled him to win. Austin, if you're listening, thanks for listening to the podcast, first of all. Second of all, I still don't think you're that good. I think that you have a lot more to prove. And I don't think we should apologize, because I still think, I don't think he's going to make, a part of me still thinks he might just fuck this up and not even make the round of 12. But if he makes the round of 12, he'll be gone at the next round.
I'm there with you. I'm not going to apologize to him. Fun fact, his average finish is at slash within only one position of his teammate Tyler Reddick, who's a fucking rookie, mind you. Austin Dillon's in his seventh year in the Cup Series. And Tyler Reddick is right there with him. Obviously, the big separator here is one win at Texas, which could have gone either way had the command center not given, you know, Austin Dillon the fresher tires. But no, I'm not going to apologize. He had one good race. Good for him. He'll fuck it up at Richmond. He'll finish 20th, maybe 25th. You know, going to Bristol, same thing. I think he's going to find his way out very, very quickly. And him having one good race at Darlington doesn't prove shit to me. Nothing. Mind you, had Truex and Elliott not gone into it, he would have finished 4th at best.
Okay, so looking forward to the end of the, towards the end of the playoffs or to the next round, we have Clint outside, Cole Custer outside, Matt DiBenedetto outside, and Ryan Blaney outside. Clint has not won a race this year. Almirola has not won a race, and Dibby has not won a race, but Custer won and Blaney won. So do you think it's going to stay that way? Do you think Clint, Cole, Dibby, and Blaney are all going to stay outside? I know we just talked about who can overcome, but do you think any of those guys are going to be staying there, or do you think anybody's going to be added to the mix down there?
Keep Custer in there all day. Again, I haven't seen enough from him. He got, I hate calling it a lucky win, but he had a good run at Kentucky and was at the right place at the right time. You know, and got a win there. He could have wrecked out, finished 30 something on the day, or as we saw, he had a good run and cleared everybody, won the race. But other than that, he hasn't had any consistently good finishes to show me that he's going to transfer on the round of 12. He's going to stay out. We talked about it. Dibby and Blaney, I think both those guys are going to crawl their way out of it. Put Austin Dillon back in there. I'm sticking to it. Byron, again, he had a good day. He had a good day. He had 5th. But I don't know that we're going to continue to see the good runs, you know, that out of him. So 2 good races in a row doesn't prove shit.
3. That's his third straight top 5.
Third, excuse me. Anyway, but I don't know. We'll see. And Kyle Busch, like I said, he could fuck up at Richmond. All it takes is one bad wreck. He's sitting 10th right now. He's only 2 spots in. All it takes is one wreck, and then he's in a must-win at Bristol. So, I don't know.
I just don't see Kurt Busch making it on in the next round. He had a good Darlington run, and that was a good strategy by Matt McCall. But I just don't see Kurt doing it. Like, it's almost like the way that I don't really see Gragson or some of those Xfinity drivers as Cup drivers just yet. I still don't see Kurt Busch making it past this next round, or really even making it. If he does make it, he's going to be early exit out of round of 12. He won the championship in 2004, the first ever chase, and he got really lucky whenever his tire came off, caused his own caution in Homestead. I just can't see him winning. For whatever reason, as good as everybody says Chip Ganassi Racing equipment is, it's really not as good. Chevy has obviously put all their money towards Hendrick, and out of all that money, it's going mostly to Chase. You know, Bowman's had some good runs, but I just don't see it. But speaking of the future, we have a quick silly season updates. It's some surprises and not really some surprises. You know, JP and I don't really like William Byron. Like, overall, we like him, but I don't understand this news. Here we go. Billy Byron is re-signed with Hendrick Motorsports through the 2022 season. He actually signed this extension back during Michigan doubleheader weekend back like August 8th. Then we have Eric Almirola has re-signed with SHR for the next season. Smithfield Foods sponsoring 25 races next season. That is a drop from the 34 races they're sponsoring this year. Also, Exalta is not going to be sponsoring 25 for Byron anymore. They're going to be doing 12 a year through 2026. So it's a significant drop off. They have to find some more sponsors. We have Big Bucks Bubba has another sponsor, collaborated with Urban Outfitters for a new t-shirt for his charity. And to add to the silly season drama, Jermaine Racing has told us now that Geico has not re-signed for next season as a main sponsor, and they're exploring exploring team sale options. And that's just another example of another team closing. And it's surprising, but not really, because once Geico left, they really don't have anybody else. Bob Levine, Bob Germain, the Bobs out of NASCAR. That sucks. Do you have any reaction to this kind of news, JP? Are you surprised by any of this? I know you don't think Byron's really deserving the 24, but other than that.
No, nothing really throws me off. Had Almirola won a couple more races, I don't know if that would have changed Smithfield's mind, but still 25 races is a lot of fucking races. Again, that's over two-thirds of the season right there. That's 10 races, 11 races that he has to figure out. Not a big deal. If Clint Boyer can do it, surely he can. But other than that, it is kind of sad to see Jermaine Racing with Geico heading out. It does surprise me that a company that puts so much money into the sport doesn't do anything, doesn't want to sign on with a big NASCAR team. I was a quick shower thought here. I was there thinking, like, wouldn't you rather sponsor a big driver for like 7 or 8 races a year, like the big races, than sponsor a shit team that gets literally no coverage because they suck so fucking bad for an entire season? I don't know, man. You have the Geico Restart Zone. You see their ads non-damn stop. They have the planes flying on the track. They're in all the brochures. They're on all the track websites. So I don't know. I hope they stay in the sport for a long time. But I get why they're pulling out of the team. They get nothing back from it.
Yeah, I don't understand why they've been sponsoring so long anyways. They've been sponsored since, I think, 2008, whenever they were still with Casey Mears. And they were a Toyota team for a little bit. They were Ford. Now they're finally to Chevy. They've gone through all the manufacturers for the most part, other than Dodge. So, Jermaine Racing, that kind of stuff. I'm in agreement with you. Why the fuck are they putting so much money in Jermaine? Because, yes, they have an alliance with RCR because Ty Dillon is granddaddy's money with RCR. They're on campus. They're literally – so RCR's headquarters, they have RPM and Jermaine on campus with them, also a calling. So they're all in like these little sheds to the effect of RCR's giant garage. So I was kind of surprised as well that they're sticking along so long. And they don't – they've not – Bob Pocker said they're not going to sign to any other big team. So they're content with just doing the main sponsor of the premier partners. But it just makes me kind of sad. I don't like losing owners. But whenever one owner dies, another one comes up. You know, we still have Denny Hamlin and all that kind of stuff with the investing. He really hasn't closed the door on that. So it's kind of awkward. But moving on to Richmond, JP, preview time. Give me your this is your favorite racetrack. I know you love going to Richmond. You love watching it. Anything on your mind for Richmond right now?
I think we're going to see a fairly uneventful race. We're not going to see a lot of cautions. We hardly ever do. I mean, I can't recall once a massive, massive pileup in the past several years at Richmond. And I think it's going to remain that way. However, the big thing to watch out for is obviously the bubble. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? I think we're going to get a much, much better idea. They're going to shake off the cobwebs at the 21 camp with DiBenedetto. And I think Ryan Blaney's going to come back, maybe bring back the mustache. I think he ought to. I think we'll do a lot better if he can do that. Shake off the cobwebs, you know, get this bad juju off of them and have a good race. They don't need to go out there and win, but have a good race. And will Austin Dillon answer the call and have another good race? Or is it just a bluff?
Yeah, was that a fluke or not? I'm in agreement with you. Richmond, for whatever reason, they keep on calling it the excitement track. I wouldn't call it excitement track. I just think that because it used to be the cutoff race, it's an exciting track because everybody was looking at the playoffs. But nowadays, I don't know what's going to happen here. Trucks don't, they haven't been there since 2005. Xfinity, I don't really know. And Cup, I don't really fucking know. I know that this is a 750 horsepower package with low downforce, so it's a short track package. Something similar we're going to be seeing to Phoenix in terms of package wise. And so if you can run good here, you can probably run good over there. But I don't know. I just, this racetrack is like a eh, and I'm hoping that this weekend changes its mind. This is my first time seeing 750 package at Richmond, new package. Oh, I saw it on iRacing when they did like the Invitational Series, but that was fucking snooze fest. Fell asleep right in the middle of that. William Byron won, but he sucked. Blaney sucks at this track. Chase sucks at this track. This is like Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex kind of ground. So I don't know. It's just a big question mark for me. I'm looking forward to Bristol, but this is kind of like Halloween to me, the way that I kind of look over it. I'm like, I don't really like Halloween. I don't like dressing up. So I just go to Thanksgiving. I just kind of think that way.
Hey, well, keep in mind, too, this is going to be the cutoff race for the trucks. So,
oh, yeah.
A big. So I don't know what we're going to see. If we're going to see any dicking whatsoever, it's going to be in the trucks. And more specifically, we might see Todd Gilliland. And I want to see somebody kind of lose their shit and kind of go crazy. And if it's not him, Johnny Sauter or Stuart Friesen, these are guys that are virtually in a must-win situation. What are they going to do? This is their last chance at a fairly predictable track. You know, it's not like you see a bunch of passing where you get moved out and you can catch back up real quick. No, the fuck you don't. What's going to happen?
You know, this weekend for Xfinity is also a doubleheader. So we have Friday night, Saturday afternoon for this, and then the actual big race is Saturday night for Cups, and then trucks are actually running on Thursday night. So we have a doubleheader. And yeah, I mean, Bristol is a cutoff race for Xfinity. So you're right. The truck series, I'm curious to see who's going to be and who's out. Derek Cross is on the cutoff line. Todd Gilliland's right down there with them. But, you know, hey, JP, look at the time. We're at our favorite point of the show.
Mm-mm-mm.
So this is picks, all right? Richmond picks. I'm going to tell you what. I don't fucking know a damn thing about what's going to happen with the trucks. So with my picks, I'm going to pick for trucks the handsome Zane Smith, and then the without his mustache, looks kind of weird, Brett Moffitt, dark horse.
I agree. And that's, I mean, having Moffitt as a dark horse pick, I get it. He hasn't won a race this season. Technically, I say he's a dark horse, but fuck you.
Well, who do you have for trucks?
We have Matt Crafton. He's only one of two drivers in the field that has raced at Richmond before. Doesn't mean much. Someone racing at a place 15 years ago doesn't mean they're going to remember how to do it again 15 years later. So I don't think that means much. But Crafton does have a lot of experience, and I think we're going to see the playoff Matt Crafton come to life and start getting some better finishes. Kind of like how Martin Truex and Almirola have been, you know, since we restarted racing again. You know, maybe not winning races, but getting up there, getting damn close. And then also, I just talked about him, Todd Gilliland. Stay in your fucking motorhome, Todd Gilliland. This man has to perform. He's still in right now. But for some reason, something in my gut is telling me that he's not gonna hang back and drive safe to get in. He's going to be driving more aggressive to make sure he's really in. Who you got for Xfinity?
Dude,
both days.
I cannot believe... I can't believe that you picked Cuck Truck Gilliland like that. Jesus. The bitching after he got hit by Sheldon Creed at Gateway. Just, oh, wish we wouldn't have gotten hit there. Like, fuck you, dude. Obviously, nobody wants to be hit. But picking for the overall weekend, because I don't want to, here at Checkers Records, we're kind of lazy with the picks. I'm not going to pick two fucking times because you can't predict that. It's two of the same races. So might as well pick just one. I got Justin Allgaier. Biggest bitch in NASCAR, Justin Allgaier. I know. People that have been listening to this podcast for a little bit. No, I do not like Justin Allgaier. He looks fucking weird. I did like his FFA car when he won at Dover. But other than that, biggest bitch in NASCAR. I think he's going to take it home. And then my dark horse, I got, you know, when there's daddy's money in the field, I got to fucking go with them. Might as well go with Brandon Jones, the lucky fucking horseshoe shoved all the way up his ass, along with all that fucking money. Now, he won't be driving that fucking Apple car this weekend, but I don't know what the fuck he's going to be driving. Honestly, whatever it is, he might fucking win one of those races. And who do you have, Mr. Genius?
We're going to have an oil-free racetrack.
Hopefully.
First off. So
allegedly.
So give me Chase Briscoe up there. He's going to come back. And a bold, bold take here. I don't think we're going to see much of Austin Cindric for at least a little while. So I hope I don't eat my fucking words there, but I don't think we're going to see much of him lately going to his next several races. But also, this man, Ross Chastain, put him down for my dark horse pick. Look, man, I am spitting on that colleague racing cock, and I am going to town. All right, I'm a big college guy. First off, they like all of our stuff on social media. They're positive team. They actually one of the few teams where I see like the guys are actually teammates. They actually work together. We see it all the time at the Super Speedways. Ross has been up there all the time these past few races, but has had some bad luck or has tried to push too hard. I think he might actually finally seal the deal. At least it wanted to these two races, and maybe get a season going. You got for Cup.
Okay, I have what most people would say two dark horse picks, but you know, Claire B. Lang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, said the other day to Kyle Busch, asked him, "How do you feel?" Or she says, "I don't consider Kyle Busch to be a dark horse. I considerably think he's a dark horse because he hasn't won this fucking season. I and he won't." But these are two dark horse picks in my mind. I think that I'm going to go with Matt DiBenedetto, main pick. I don't know why, but he has really good short track experience. This is what he like lives on. This is his shit. This is not emotion. This is just whatever is feeling deep down in my tummy. I'm just feeling it. I just think he's going to take that fucking car to victory lane. Just something tells me this is his time. You know, his wife's going to be crying. Hopefully Denny Hamlin doesn't come and cuck him again like Bristol. But then my dark horse of the dark horse picks, basically, Alex Bowman. He's really good. He's good at Phoenix. That's why I picked him. He's good at Phoenix. Richmond is kind of like Phoenix in a way. Kind of. But if we're really comparing tracks, Richmond's more like Iowa, and Iowa's more like Richmond. But Phoenix is kind of close in terms of horsepower and what we're running there. I got Alex Bowman for my dark horse. And for the final picks, because you're a fucking loser this week, who do you have?
I got Truex.
I know.
But I think he's gonna be clear this weekend. He's gonna pull it off. We haven't seen anything of him until this past Sunday at Darlington, and he fucking blew it.
That's not he's funny.
He's gonna pull his shit together. He's gonna bring her on home at Richmond. Almost did it at Darlington. He would have done it if he wasn't such a cuck. But he's going to get his shit together and do it. Now, look, this is. I promise you, these are my picks. I'm not just naming people off the cuck list. All right? Dark horse pick, Kyle Busch.
Dude.
I know.
What is fucking wrong with you?
Look, this is how it's going to work. I'm either going to fucking hate myself but love the race because both these guys do terrible and your guys do great. Or I'm going to hate the race but rub your damn face in it. I'm taking a huge gamble here, man. I'm taking a huge gamble. There's no middle ground. Kyle Busch is not going to have a crew chief, but he's shown some speed at Richmond in the past. It's crunch time. This man has got to get going. And he won the championship last year. And something's telling me, I don't know if he's going to win. I'm picking him as like a second or third maybe. But I think he's going to have a strong showing. He's going to have an Austin Dillon at Darlington kind of showing. He's like, whoa, there he is. That's what we're looking for. But we'll have to see.
Another great show in the fucking books. Loading up the haulers. We're going fucking short track racing this fucking weekend. Hopefully Joey Logano doesn't cuck any of our drivers. Hopefully he can keep his fucking hands off everybody. And hopefully everybody can stay clear. And hopefully JP is wrong on his picks because the NASCAR Cuck Series is starring a one Martin Truex Jr. who I have rid my house of until 2021, Speed Weeks, and then Kyle fucking Busch. I don't know why JP's doing this, you guys. You guys maybe need to hit him up on Instagram or follow us on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Just please reach out to JP. He's going through a hard time right now. Obviously, if you're picking Truex and Kyle Busch, might need to Baker Act him. I don't know if he's okay. But otherwise, fun show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I see you up there in Canada. I see you in Germany listening. And let's go fucking short track racing. JP, say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, guys. Thank you, guys, an incredible amount if you're listening to us. Sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel, and a stunner. On the mirror way, saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the